Oh, I apologize. I was muted the entire time. Let me start all over again. Hi, this is Yisachar Wartell, and this is Parshat Vayakel. That's right, we're right at the end of Sefer Shemot. Moving along, it's not a double Parsha this year, so it's just Vayakel, not Vayakel Pekudei. And much like I said in Parshas Truma, which is very similar to this week's Parsha, there's quite more than actually meets the eye. There's seemingly a lot of tedious details, and in fact, it's anything but. And it's the fact that it's even doubly potentially burdensome. It's actually not. There's so much there, and there's actually many, many small nuances, believe it or not, between Truma and Vayakel, even though they seem to be saying the same thing. And yes, there are certain things that are repeated, and obviously Hashem had a reason for that. Some things can be figured out. Some, we'll find out, or they could be for you to discover. You never know. You could find stuff out, right? So it's always worth acquiring. Or maybe you'll find a sefer someday that picks up, something that I didn't know, you didn't know, most people don't know. Could be an obscure sefer. I love looking for obscure sefers, by the way. Anyway, there is a ton to talk about Vayakel. So let us get started, shall we? I apologize that I was late today. I was actually in the middle of a very good Gemara Chavrusa, and I completely lost track of time. So do apologize about that. We were trying to like wrap our heads around the sugya, very interesting machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. And interestingly enough, it had a little bit, to, somewhat, a lot to do actually with Tu B'Shvat, even though that time has passed, but that would have been appropriate. It was Masechet Rosh Hashanah, in case you're curious. All right, anyway, without further ado, we're putting the do in donate, even though it's obviously pronounced differently. Towards the beginning of this week's Parsha, the Torah writes, Vayavo ha'anashim al anashim, kol nadav, nadiv leiv, heviyu, kach, v'nezem, kol. And the men brought, when you translate it in Hebrew now, all the women, everyone whose heart motivated them, they brought bracelets, nose rings, rings, and body adornments, all items of gold. But the word all here seems perplexing. Now, the word all, ayin lamed, typically means on or about. Occasionally, it could have a couple other meanings. But essentially, the main meanings that it has doesn't really appear to make sense. The men upon the women, the men about the women, doesn't really seem to make sense. So Rashi explains that the word al in this case means im, with. The men with the women, right? They both brought jewelry. They both brought all kinds of adornments and things like that, which includes, their wives, their daughters, etc., to donate their gold jewelry. However, Rashi alludes to the fact that the word im is specifically not used here in order to illustrate a point. Not only did the women freely donate their gold jewelry they possessed, but also the jewelry that was al was upon them. The women were so righteous that even the gold jewelry that was upon their bodies, even if it was things that they might frequently wear, even those they gave for the cause of donating to the mission. And the Ramban echoes a similar idea, that the women immediately took up anything upon them, gold bracelets, gold jewelry, earrings, nose rings, whatever it was, the instant they were asked to do it, whereas the men may have had some hesitation. The Ramban continues to explain an additional reason why the word al, ayin lamed, is used here. He explains that al can also mean because of. When the men saw how freely the women donated their precious gold jewelry, they were motivated to do so as well. That it was all on behalf of, because of the women, due to the righteous donation of this free donating of the women, that the men donated to such an extent that they did. And this is perhaps an explanation why some commentaries actually explain why the men and women gave equally, that the women inspired the men to give just as much as the women would have given, but it's just as much as the women gave a lot, so the men were like, sure, we'll give a lot too, perhaps. And indeed, the Baal Torah writes the gematria of the words. It's fascinating. You know, I love gematrias. Vayavo ha'anashim al hanashim kol nadiv leiv hiviyu. And the men brought all the women, on the women, or because the women, everyone whose heart motivated them, they brought, meaning they, plural, are equal to az ish v'ishto ba'im echa. So the Baal Torah says that. Thus, a man and his wife came up to the Mishkan as one, as like one unit. They both came wholeheartedly together to give. So yes, true according to some, the men gave as much as the women, but it only happened because of the initial impetus of the woman. Therefore, the Das HaKadosh writes that it was a special initiative of the women that earned them the right to refrain from Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Oh, sorry if you want to do laundry. But effectively, right, it was a boon. It was a good thing, right? It was a bracha, right? The women are given the freedom from doing certain tasks on Rosh Chodesh. Now, while many explain that while it was really due to their lack of participation in the Chet HaEgel, it's actually potentially more than that. The Das Kanem explains, according to his understanding, that the initial donation for the Mishkan actually occurred before the sin of the golden calf. And therefore, even though that this doubly gave merit to the women, but they already had merited this beforehand because the initial donation, at least according to the Das Kanem's understanding, and it's a big machlokas as to the exact timing, but that the initial donation was well before the golden calf happened, and therefore they already earned the reward. It's just the fact that they didn't participate in the Chet HaEgel cemented their status further and gave them extra reward. Now, there is another approach. There's that approach of the Sforno, who takes a slightly different direction. He explains that although the Mishkan required gold, and this was for a holy purpose, the men could not force their wives to give up their jewelry. Rather, all they had to do was just simply ask their wives to donate just a few gold items on their behalf to the Mishkan. So, in other words, it wasn't expected that the women would give up their precious jewelry, the things that they would wear normally, the things that were close to them. If they had, just donate a few pieces, just to be yotzei, right? Donate a few gold pieces, but not everything. They didn't ask them that. But the righteous women selflessly gave almost all of what they had, if not everything, not just a few items. The Sforno therefore explains that the only reason the men were even able to bring so much gold, including all of the rings and bracelets, etc., was because the women donated them so freely, even though they didn't have to. And therefore, it was all meaning on, in the sense that it was on behalf of the women that this was possible that they had as much gold as they did. Because presumably, the women had much more gold than the men. We don't know for sure, but it seems logical. Now, as we are approaching Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, right? So happy early, early, early Purim, everybody. As we approach Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni this coming week, it is a special time to honor the women of Klal Yisrael. It's always appropriate to do. And also, it's the month containing Purim, which is a salvation that occurred largely through the hands of the amazing woman, Esther Hamach. So, keeping that in mind, we move forward. So, appreciate all that your wife, mother, whoever it is, sister, whoever it is, does. And really appreciate all the hard work they do, whether it's preparing for Shabbos or anything else. I'm wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.